babies.
Sorry. Speaking of mothers and knuckles, what do you say we start the show? The Simple Minds Sports Show. We're talking all things good Boston sports. A couple of laughs in between. We're going to do some opening takes again. I asked in the text chain, what would your opening takes be again?
You did not. Fucking liar. You're a liar.
Look it up. As I go to the tape and yet again prove myself correct, why don't you start, Ray?
Where is it? I want to see it.
Fucking talk.
All right. Thank you there, Richard. The Celtics are playing game two right now. The beautiful thing about the Celtics right now is Jason Tatum doesn't have to be the alpha right now.
At 2:15 today, I'll be jazzed up, baby, says Ray. Don't you worry. At 2:15, opening takes, who wants what? Then I said, need a comedy segment. This would you rather? And then Bobby said, I'd name the show, bitch. Why don't you do something, you fat fuck, Ray? 2:15 to 2:19. Go look it up. You were saying?
Thank you, Richard. So, like I was saying on my opening take, Jason Tatum doesn't have to be the alpha in this series. All the guys are playing around him, playing beautifully. Jaylen Brown has stepped up. Derek White is him. He is playing beautifully. Jrue Holiday doesn't have to score either. This team is well-rounded, unlike any other team that we've been playing. We have all these assets, and you don't have to rely on one guy like Jason Tatum because he is our superstar, but you don't have to rely on him, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's beautiful basketball to watch. It's team basketball. Something that we haven't seen in a long time in the NBA because it's always been ISO, 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 and all these superstars getting theirs. It's nice to see role players getting theirs and the Celtics team rolling right now. And that's one thing I like. Jason Tatum doesn't have to be that guy.
Fair enough. I have a different thought process and theory on what Tatum is doing right now. Are you grabbing your gullet, like your chicken, your turkey neck?
Yeah.
What's the jersey you got on there today? Between the big zero on your belly and the fat golf hat, you could have went a different direction today. I mean, it looks good, it's working, but yeah.
Fun fact, I used to not be able to wear this. It didn't fit.
Oh, congratulations, buddy.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
One more nit to pick here. If you keep pretending to be some 17-year-old asshole saying this is he is him or whatever that stupid goddamn phrase
from Barstool, dude. Fuck you. Yeah. Banner 18.
Speaking of 17-year-olds fucking assholes, Barstool. We're not in 2008 anymore, okay? That shit's not cool anymore. We're in our 40s, just fucking nearly in our 40s. Just, like, he's playing very well. Let's just speak proper English, especially with
Derek White is playing very well and very deep from the three. He's playing well.
He is him, bro. He is him, bro. What the fuck does that even mean? So stupid. I tell you who's not him. David Pastrnak in a fight on the ice, on the sheet. David Pastrnak and the Bruins were absolutely embarrassed in game two in their series against the Florida Panthers, ending in the last 10 minutes of a 6-1 game in a complete melee, including David Pastrnak, soft knuckles David himself, going up against Matthew Tkachuk in an absolute beatdown, including every one of his teammates who got beat down. After getting beat down on the score sheet, they got beat down with their fists. Just an overall embarrassment for the Bruins in game two. Someone expected. I mean, you had to expect the Florida to push back. You had to expect some of that momentum and energy to wear off a game seven win against Toronto. But in that fashion, that's a tough one to take. We'll see if all that fake, stupid, in my opinion, fighting at the end can propel these guys to make it a series. I'm talking about the Bruins. We shall see. So do a little Bruins talk there. Chief Bobby, your opening take.
Speaking of embarrassing, the more that Robert Kraft has become the face of the New England Patriots, the dumber they look. Ever since Belichick has left, he's kind of looked nothing but smart and funny and witty and capable. And the more we hear from Kraft, he kind of sounds like an asshole. He says that they're doing a GM search now because they were too busy at the end of the year, even though they had the coach written into Mayo's contract that he was going to be the next coach, so there was no coach search. And teams routinely search for both at the same time, but they couldn't handle that. He's giving off the air that he's smarter than everybody in the room, but he's coming off dumber.
Yeah, don't disagree with you there. Do I have control?
You do. Fuck!
I have control of the board, ladies and gentlemen.
How'd you do that?
What's that? I muted him. Oh, life is good. Life is good. Okay. We'll be talking the Patriots, certainly, and Robert Kraft's role. Do a little Celtics talk. Obviously, they are in play as we they are winning as we speak. They are rolling through these playoffs. So we'll start Celtics, move on to the Bruins. We haven't had a chance to talk game seven all the way up until now. So roller coaster there for the Bruins from game seven to last night. The Patriots search, as Bobby mentioned, touch on that. Also, the Brady roast is getting all the headlines everywhere you look. I know, Ray, you did watch it or just clips?
Clips.
Asshole. And Bobby, I assume you didn't watch it because
I watched some of it. The thing's too long, but I mean, I've heard you feel like you've watched it after you know, everybody's talked about it. I'm sure you've heard the decent jokes.
Yeah, it is very long. We got a Would You Rather with Doughboy and Simplest Minds of the Week. This is the Simple Minds Sports Show, Friday Rewind, May 10th, Thursday night, May 9th. Welcome. Welcome to my Sports Show. If you're watching on YouTube, you're welcome. New room for Bobby. A new/old jersey for Ray. Now as he's losing that little tum-tum, he's able to fit back into the
what's the, good the LB old... count, Raymond?
I had a bad week. I probably gained a pound or two. So I'm like the 191, 182. It's all right.
Double dose tomorrow.
Would you say you've plateaued or...
No, I just got to start doing a little bit more cardio. I'll get there. Don't worry, baby.
Okay. I have a decent cardio regimen. You want to hear it?
Fucking your mother? Yep. Layup. See, Bobby? Layups. All night long.
I mean
that it was hard to resist. It's hard to resist.
Just, I mean, yeah, whatever. Fucking.
You can't set up your own layup. You can't alley-oop yourself when the other guy has to lob it to you.
Yeah, you should have just, it would have been.
Oh, you should have just been like, oh, what is it, Rich? What's the cardio exercise that you have planned?
Yeah. Yeah. We're all part of the same team here, Ray. You know,
would it be fucking my mother, Richard?
Why don't you stop being Jason Tatum and being a little more Derek White? He is him. Why don't you be
him? He is him. I am him.
Exactly. I need a little bit more of an unselfish, heroic performance. Okay.
I'm sorry, boys.
You're something. That's my problem. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's not him. You're welcome on YouTube. If you're listening on your preferred platform, whatever podcast platform that may be, subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends, as always, tell your mothers. All right, let's start with the Celtics talk. Wake me up in June. This thing's over. Absolute Celtics rolling through the playoffs. You're shaking your head. You're watching the game live. What's the score?
54-54. 2 seconds till halftime.
Okay. That's fine.
I just don't want the bad juju. I just want to make sure that we're like, no, we're not rolling. This might be a tough series.
Here's they've tied the franchise record for victories, for 20 point victories, 20 or more point victories with four. Okay. They did that in six games. In four, and there are four victories they have won by 20 or more points. The NBA record. Playoff record for 20-point victories is six, set by the 95-96 Jazz. The Celtics, to your opening take, Ray, are absolutely rolling over these inferior opponents. It didn't even look like they wanted to be there in game one. I was actually getting aggravated by how little defense they were playing. They were just playing street ball up and down the court type of game. And then they locked in a little bit further, and the Cavs just don't have the artillery to keep up with them. Donovan Mitchell looked like he was a Kentucky Derby racehorse that needed to be brought out back and shot. He was so exhausted by the end of that thing, trying to keep him in it. So, even if they stay close in this game, even if the Cavs pick up a game, it's very hard for me to see the Celtics not winning this in five and a couple of more of those victories being by 20 or more points just because of the talent disparity. That being said, they're not doing anything to change my mind about who they are. They're just this good. And we've talked about it. They could be this, especially in the East, because the teams are so piss poor. They could just be this good and walk to the NBA Finals with very, very little pushback and adversity to get through. But that's not saying that they're not playing well. Certainly, Jaylen Brown and Derek White leading the charge. Jaylen Brown, the leading scorer, 24 points a game. Derek White, 23. A lot of talk around Jason Tatum not being the Jason Tatum we're used to, certainly in the scoring department, only averaging 21 points, his lowest point total per average in like 4 or 5 years, seasons or whatever, since he was new to the league. I'll stop there. I've got an opinion on Tatum to your opening take, but Bobby, your thought on the Celtics?
Yeah, I think that they are just kind of going to continue to walk here. I think if they end up playing the Knicks, they'll be a little bit more of a plucky team. They're a little bit more of a veteran presence on there. They'll provide a little bit more resistance. But I think they're in line for a collision course with either the Wolves or the Thunder at this point. I think that'll make for one heck of a Western Conference Finals. I'm actually interested to watch those two teams play. But as far as the Celtics, they're just too good. Right now, it's Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and they don't need anything else.
Oops. Yeah. Moving on. So I'll take it to the Tatum thing. So obviously Tatum is not having the offensive performance that we're used to in the scoring department. However, he's leading the team in nearly every other. So here's the leaders. All right. So I gave you the points leaders. Jaylen Brown leads that with 24. Tatum at that in this category, points per game, is third at 21. Then we go to rebounds. Lead rebounder on the team, Jason Tatum, 10 rebounds a game. Next is Jaylen Brown at 6.8. So Tatum's clearing the field there. Leading assists, Jason Tatum, 5.3 assists per game. Holiday has 4, White at 3, Brown at 2. Defensive rating, Drew Holiday leads that at 99, Horford at 99. Jason Tatum, number 3, 102. So his shooting is certainly down. That's obvious. But if you watch the games, you can take this in a positive or a negative route. Your positive is what Ray said. He doesn't have to be the alpha. He can just be part of the offense. He doesn't need to go out there and put up 30 points. And he's not. And he's contributing in the rest of the games, you know, based on these numbers I just gave you in the rest of the game. And helping contribute to the win in other ways. I would say it's very similar to what we've seen from Tatum in the past. He's bored. He's playing down to his competition. This year, he's just not dragging the other guys with him. Jaylen Brown and Derek White refuse to play down to the competition with him. And they're going out there putting their foot on people's necks. And I guess, you know, if that's the way you want to go, you could say at least Tatum is giving them the rope to do that. He's not forcing 25 shots a night. He's okay taking 12, 16 shots a night and just being, you know, the beta in that situation. So I don't know which way you want to go with that, Bobby or Ray. Is he purposely allowing these guys to take over and taking a step back and contributing elsewhere? Or is he just subconsciously playing down to his competition, letting his guard down against these lesser opponents like we've seen from him in the past? And the teams around him is just so good that it doesn't matter this year.
I'll go. Thank you. It's because he's getting triple teamed every time he touches the ball. That's the whole philosophy of the teams we're playing. Their defense is stop Tatum at all costs. There was a beautiful still shot that I was just trying to locate, but it was basically showing Tatum going up for a shot, and he was triple teamed by the
triple team still shot. If you want to see one.
No. So basically, he realizes that he has open players, he has open teammates, and he is facilitating the ball. So what he is doing is beautiful. It's smart basketball. It's nice to watch. And Tatum's doing the right thing. He's not forcing it. He's actually facilitating it, knows that there's an open guy. Derek White's playing out of his mind right now. Jaylen Brown, once he gets going, he's playing great. So once again, it's just one of those things where I like Jason Tatum, what he's doing.
Two things, if we could see that shot. But secondly, if Tatum was if he was like already a two-time champ and he was doing this, we would say he's pacing himself for when he's needed to do it, but he isn't. So I'm going to tend to lean on he is probably just, he's in space or maybe his dog died or something. I don't know.
He's just aloof. This is the type of player he is. He's coasting. And what we have right now, ladies and gentlemen, is a good Celtics team that is winning, that is not causing any stress on Ray's fragile bony body, fat bony body, and you have Homer Ray. I think I said it in the text chain. I made a perfect analogy.
Didn't see Ray's it. Didn't see it.
Ray's Homer. I'll look that
I want
up.
I want a timestamp.
Okay, I'll timestamp.
I believe. No, I remember he made a herpes analogy.
I remember that one. Yeah.
No, Ray's Homerism comes up when you have like a bout of herpes. It was some sort of analogy to herpes.
Thank you, Bobby. Ray's Homerism is very similar to herpes. It's always there, but it, from time to time, it flares up when you've got a flare up and it comes out. And then, you know, at times where the team is struggling or maybe makes a very quickly, it goes away. So, but it's always there. And right now you've got classic Homer Ray, classic Homerism Ray. The second we get a close game, 54-54 at half for the Celtics, we need Tatum to step up and dominate. The second he goes out there against those quote unquote triple teams and forces shots and goes 1-for-7 in the fourth quarter and misses two big free throws.
Tatum's cut.
Let's talk next week. Fucking Tatum can't step over. Trade him. He fucking sucks. Derek White is him. Fucking give him the ball. Tatum fucking blows. He's a pussy. That shirt will be, miraculously, that shirt will be too tight again. We won't see that
yes,
on the next
Yes, it
week.
Will. Yes, yes, it will.
I think this team is different. I said that last week. I think there's a different mentality. I think Drew Holiday makes a difference over Marcus Heart and Soul Smart. I think Derek White has taken a step forward. I think Joe Mazzulla is more experienced. I don't think Tatum's changed. I think Tatum is status quo, which is very, very fucking good, but is yet to prove that he can be him, if I want to speak like Ray.
And you said that so many times tonight, you're trying to act like a fucking 18-year-old punk now.
He hasn't had an opportunity to do it in this series. Outside of what I would call game four against the Heat, the first three quarters, I thought he was excellent. Again, not putting up 50 points, but doing all the other things, even offensively. So, you know, the story is the same with the Boston Celtics. They have yet to be pressed in clutch and late execution situations, which is their final test, in my opinion. But again, they just may not need it. Like, to think that they're not going to break that Jazz record of 6 victories of 20 more points looks like, you know, I would bet against that this year. It looks like they're going to be able to do that. And they're not even shooting the ball very well. Like, Derek White is, but Jaylen Brown's not shooting the three a whole lot. He's driving the lane. Everybody else is not shooting very well. So, wait for a game where they hit their 49% three-pointers. They're going to win by 45 fucking points. So
Derek White's been the third best player in the NBA playoffs behind Edwards and Brunson.
And I think you're right.
Thank you. I want to go real quick. Do you think if this is a close game tonight and you don't win by 20 points that they could have a Zoom conversation with your mother? Because she likes to be pressed and pressured at the right times.
I don't hear a lot of laughs on that one.
That was bad.
And you stopped me.
What's funny is you came in with so much confidence about the joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no. I'd like to add something. I'm a fucking idiot, basically, is what that was. Everyone listen to me. Everyone listen to the dumb boy that has something to say. Like an idiot.
Take a gummy. Thank you. No. I don't want to go sleep yet.
I don't want to go see peace.
A still shot, though, if we could see that.
Across the end, that's what you have in the Celtics. We'll see. It's halftime now, 54-54. Is that the score?
Correct.
Okay. NBA playoffs around the rest. The Knicks are up 2-0. Bobby, you think they're a challenge for the Celtics? I do not.
I think the Celtics will win. I think they might not get 20-point victories.
The Knicks have been very, very good in late-game situations. But they don't play.
Jalen Brunson hasn't really had a guy that can defend him like Drew Holiday can defend him.
No, and for some reason, they don't double team him and get the ball out of his hands because they're a bunch of morons in there. The Knicks don't play a ton of defense. They're winning games in the high hundreds. It's one-on-one basketball with Jalen Brunson. That's not sustainable. I agree with you. They are a more physical challenge, and they've got a little bit of the red ass, as you would say. Josh Hart, because the Bruins were getting smoked so bad, I flipped over to the Knicks Pacers game, last night, and that Josh Hart guy is really starting to annoy me. He's starting to be one of these guys that thinks they're better than they are. And if the Celtics were a team that had any balls, they'd walk into next year and just fucking annihilate them. Just send them home in their diapers. They won't. You're probably right, Bobby. It'll probably go six. There'll be tighter games than they should be because the Knicks have an immense amount of balls. Jalen Brunson's balls are dragging through Madison Square Garden. The Celtics just have too much talent. The same story we continue to tell over and over again.
Well, do you think also the Knicks are like going coasting to the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, they played a banged up Bucks team who didn't have Giannis, who Damian Lillard didn't play the whole series either. Then they're now playing the Pacers, who, I mean, they're not banged up, but they're not what they were in the regular season by far. They're kind of like choke artists right now. So are they having like an easier time going to the Eastern Conference Finals? And when they play us, they're going to be like, oh shit, it's actually a true challenge now.
The whole East blows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
And the Knicks are struggling with all of it. So,
yeah,
they're winning, but they're not, you know, they're having,
they haven't really had a big, they haven't had a big test yet.
I mean, they played the Sixers. I don't think they didn't play the Bucks. The Pacers played the Bucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. They played the Sixers. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know what you're saying. And that was a tight series. But they have been very, very good clutching late all season long. The Knicks have. Again, when you play the Celtics, how many of those games are going to be close and late? You know, if the Celtics keep playing the way they're playing, not enough of them. Did you see this? The Pacers are pulling a Houston Rockets. Remember when James Harden, what year was it when they missed 27 threes straight and they lost to the Warriors? That was the
Houston Rockets team?
Houston Rockets, yeah. Whatever year that was, they and their fans like did a deep dive in all the quote-unquote missed calls that they had. In that series, and the Rockets went to lose.
I saw this, what you're talking about. Yep.
Very embarrassing. The Pacers basically did the same thing, and their bitch-ass coach, Rick Carlisle, is groveling like a sour, sour, sour little boy. They chronicled 78 missed calls over two games against the Knicks, and Rick Carlisle is bringing up mid-market teams in the NBA, and they should get the same calls in Madison Square Garden. Shut up, you pussies. The same guys that stole Giannis's 64-point ball, and then Giannis went crying in his Cheerios to go get the ball, and then he almost had a fake NBA fight in the tunnel over the thing. This Rick Carlisle, good God, man.
Like, he's a cancer survivor.
First toupee, put on a suit, and shut the fuck up.
Wow. 78.
That's a lot of calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's always funny about these ones that they do, about the losers when they do this? They don't go and see how many missed calls are for the other team as well, because it's the NBA.
No, because they won. So you don't want to.
If there's 78 missed calls against the Pacers, there's probably 68 missed calls against the Knicks. Like, it's the NBA. They suck. They're terrible officiating. What do you want? So there you go. Knicks are up 2-0 over the Pacers. The Pacers are choke. Halliburton is not the player. He is not him, right? I'm just going to keep going back to that because it sounds so stupid.
You like it. I think you fucking like it. Let's be honest.
It's so dumb. He is him.
I'm going to buy that shirt now. What size are you, large?
He is him. Me too is coming for that phrase. They're going to take everybody down that uses it too. Watch out. He is him. Not in my fucking house, ladies. OKC up 1-0. They play the Mavs tonight. OKC. Yeah, Minnesota up 2-0 against Denver, who have two nights off. We won't see them till next week.
Speaking of babies, Jamal Murray, that baby.
Yeah, they're a little bit.
And he got pissed. They got fined $100,000 too.
It's a lot of money.
I mean, Jokic wins his third MVP. They're very, very good. But up until they won last year, they were choke artists as well. And now this year they are getting pushed around by.
Good or bad for the Celtics if they get it bounced?
Great.
Great.
Yep.
No good, no bad. Yeah. Great. You see Jokic celebrating his third MVP too? He goes like, one, great. Yeah.
Does it come with a racing horse?
Yeah, exactly. I want to go back to Serbia.
Yeah. Oh, no. That clip, when's the parade? Thursday? Oh, no.
I have to go home. I got to go home.
He's the man. I don't know what that team looks like. For the Celtics, though, no. Denver has their number. The Celtics are mentally soft. Anybody that thinks that the Celtics need a challenge in this playoff run to get – no. Give me the softest, most buttercup fucking puppy shit road possible. And maybe, just maybe, if they win it, they will have the confidence to deal with adversity moving forward in future years. This year, hell no.
No.
Hell no. No. Hell no.
Give you need to put something to put your hat on and be like, okay, we won a championship. Now they know what to do. Yeah, exactly. Now they won't get all fucking, their buttholes won't clench anymore going to the finals.
After they get through the warrior that is Chet Holmgren, they'll be like, we've done it.
They already have the arrogance of a multi-championship team. Might as well like have one on their shoulders and know what it actually feels like to do it to maybe deal with adversity moving forward. But no. Denver, no. Give me Minnesota and their inexperience and their...
Give me OKC, give me fucking Dallas, give me fucking anyone but Denver. Anyone Dallas. That's
proven. Oh my God. Did you see the highlight after when Luka got hurt and he's laying on the floor? It's just like this massive person. It's like if you just showed it like a picture of that guy, you're like, well, that's a guy in a men's league that just got hurt. It's like that's not a professional athlete. Yeah,
soft there, done that.
Did you see the OKC fan courtside that threw the ball away from Luka and then Kyrie had to come over and give a soliloquy on the injustice of NBA players to him. I'm guessing that's what he said. That's what he said.
Probably he just pulled over the book, sat down next to him, and started reading. This is why the injustice of the NBA players are at where they're at right now. You know?
Celtics Mavs would be the softest goddamn NBA finals in the history of NBA.
So many hugging fucking Kyrie, even though they lose, they'd go over and he'd be like, yeah, I made Jason Tatum the guy he was.
Yeah. I will say at least Jalen Brown, it feels like has got his mean mug on. I know him and Donovan Mitchell are friends and doesn't seem to matter. So Jalen Brown versus Anthony Edwards would be fun. I think that would be a fun matchup. Yeah. Let's not put the cart before the horse. They got to get through the Cavs as we're in halftime at that point. Let's move on. Let's go to headlines with the obvious one.
Richard, thank you. Let me do a little this first because you have controls. Thank you. Our Boston Celtics are in the first round, our first Eastern Conference team to advance to the second round, beating the Miami Heat 4-1. Game 5 saw no Porzingis. Still, the Celtics won 118-84. Derek White and Jalen Brown both. Oh, this is not the right one, I don't think. Sorry. The Celtics took down the Cavs in game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals, 120-95. Jalen Brown led the Celtics with 32 points. Celtics play game 2 as we record. It is 54-54 at halftime. Bruins are also in the Eastern Conference semifinals as they look to get revenge on the team who bounced them in the first round last year, the Florida Panthers. Bruins took game 1 with a score of 5-1. However, game 2, the Bruins didn't show up, losing 6-1. Game 3 is Friday night back in Boston. The Patriots begin interview process looking for the next GM. Here, let me save the trouble and just give it to Elliot Wolf. This is all dumb. And finally, the Red Sox lost 5-0 to former Red Sox pitcher and World Series winner Chris Sale and the Atlanta Braves. This has been Headlines with the Obvious One. Back to you there, Richard.
Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome.
God, you still don't have a goddamn...
Oh, but you have control now, bitch tits.
Well, I'm just learning I have control.
Ooh, almost
just learning I have control. All right. I'll have this ready for next week. Useless. Yeah. Useless tit, Raymond. Little Bruins talk. The Bruins absolutely embarrassed. Before we do that, game 2 talk, I just want to go back to game 7 and... remember that when we haven't had a chance to talk about game 7 against the Leafs, the 2-1 win over the Leafs in overtime, the overtime winner coming from David Pastrnak.
He's him, Richard.
Fucking guy. The equalizer coming from Lindholm. The two players that we were on the most, him and McAvoy, and that certainly in that Leafs series. David Pastrnak called out directly before Game 7 by his coach, needs to do more and step up. And I've been one of the biggest Pastrnak. I've been on his back for years. And it was good to see him come through. And Lindholm with that beautiful pass off the boards in overtime to set up David Pastrnak was all beautiful. You know, that happens once a generation. You see a Game 7 winner by your home team. So awesome, thrilling. To do it against the Leafs is just ridiculous. I have the last 12 years of Leafs playoff situation here. Like if you think being a Boston Bruins fan is hard or a Boston sports fan is hard, you don't know anything. Go to Toronto and put on one of those Leafs sweaters. They are some kind of fucking choke artist, that team. It's really, really unbelievable. So coming out of game seven, the demons seem to be exercised. We can get into game one against the Panthers, which the Bruins went in there and, you know, took down as the underdog. Ray, any thoughts on that game seven victory? David Pastrnak stepping up, Hampus Lindholm coming through with a beautiful equalizer in his shot, and the team standing up and getting that game seven win in the face of unbelievable tragedy if they lost that game. Second year in a row to blow a 3-1 lead in the first round. That would have been hard to come back from. The only team in North American sports to have ever done it if that happened. So they did it. They avoided that.
It was nice to see Jim Montgomery calling out David Pastrnak, basically saying he needs to step up. Brad Marchand was doing his job, but Pasta has not done his job. So it's nice to see that Pasta actually stepped up and was called out. And then when they asked him about it, Pasta wasn't being a bitch about it. He goes, yeah, I'd be calling myself out. If I was a coach, I would call myself out too. I know I wasn't playing the greatest. So it's nice to see that, you know, he's taking responsibility and he put it on his back and he just brushed it off and scored the game winner in game seven against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that was great.
I have to say, since game, David Pastrnak has been surprisingly refreshing since like second half of game six. He was an absolute zero for quite a while.
Oh yeah,
and he still may be on the score sheet, but his sound clips, his responses after the games, the way he stepped up, and you know, you get a game seven winner in overtime, that goes a long way, certainly. And
it bumped up his ego all the way to the point of getting absolutely obliterated by a much larger man.
Yeah,
before you jumped on,
he really thought he's like, I can fight anybody. Yeah,
Bobby like doesn't watch hockey, but before you jumped on, he was talking to me about it. Like, that's the only thing he watched was passing his ass kicked by.
I didn't watch the game. I wake up the next morning. I see 6-1. I go, and then I see the fight highlights when he's just like, they're just sitting there fighting. And then he's just like, just crushes them. He almost gets cut by a skate.
He got obliterated. He is not the guy that you've taken a fight. Although they had four or five guys that had been kicked out for misconducts at that point. There was like barely anybody left. There's plenty of guys left on the bench that could have fought. David Pastrnak probably shouldn't have been that guy, but again, put it in the good column, check column that of David Pastrnak showing up the playoffs, something that I have said that he has not done basically in his entire career. He's doing similar things to Jason Tatum. If he's not on the score sheet with a goal and assist, he's doing other things, even in a loss, like fighting the fucking nut job, Matthew Tkachuk, he had no business being in a fight with, and he took that challenge on. Some people say he shouldn't have. Some people say, one of the other guys should have stepped in for him as the best player, you know, kind of unwritten hockey rules there. Personally, I think the end of that game was a fucking embarrassment. I think fighting in hockey in the NHL hockey is dumb. It's stupid, especially now in a sport that they don't even let you basically hit guys anymore, and now you kind of fake pillow fight fucking there's no big tough guys to actually have fights anymore. I think fighting in the NFL is just dumb to begin with. To stop the game so people can punch each other in the face is it. I know that sounds whatever pussy, it's just stupid to me. It's stupid. It's part of the game. Like
but he asked Jim Montgomery in
part of the game. Fighting is just dumb.
He asked Jim Montgomery if he can go after him, and Jim Montgomery gave him the go-ahead and said, go do it. And then after the game, what he said was basically, I would fight for any one of these guys on this team. He was basically like, he doesn't have the C on his chest, but what his speech was after the game was basically, I would ride and die with all these guys, and I would do it again. And if I have to get my ass kicked to get these guys going, I will do it because these are my guys. And I want to win for my brothers. That's beautiful.
You asked the coach, I want to go fight that guy. Sit down, Langevin. That coach, I want to go fight him. Langevin, I said, sit down.
he gave him the dot of the go get your ass kicked, little boy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying what Pastrnak did, and I just gave him credit for all those things, Raymond. I just said that was great, you know, showing leadership. Excellent.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Other ways. I think the fighting itself is stupid. And the way the Bruins ended that game with the last 10 minutes of the game just being after every blown whistle, after every goal they gave up, basically every other 30 seconds, they get in some fight and half your team gets kicked off because you're getting your ass kicked and the other team's taunting in your face because you're playing like absolute dog shit. You have no ability to clear the puck out of your own zone. You have no ability to stand your ground in front of the goal. Your best defensive player, McAvoy, is an absolute fucking puddle out there. So you were railroaded, embarrassed, and they were giving it to you in on the score sheet and also in your face. So then you fucking fight for 10 minutes to end the game. I get you want to push back and you don't want to walk out of that stadium as a eighth grade Langevin, limp as shit. You want to have a little bit of fight in you as you walk out of there.
5 shows in a row. You've gotten one of those
for fucking 10 minutes and you lost every fight. You got your ass handed to you. You got beat up like with fists and with goals. I just felt Bush League and like there were, it was embarrassing and you just got owned. You couldn't compete. So you tried to muck it up and fight and they kicked your ass in that too. And then your best player ends it all on national television, middle of the fucking sheet. Every camera, every eye is on him and he gets his ass beat. Not even close. It was, in a word, embarrassing.
After their goals, they were laughing at them.
Yes.
They were laughing at the Bruce. Yeah, they were laughing. And then you have to get fucking Swayman, who's been playing lights out, gets pulled because of the embarrassment that's on the ice. So now what's that going to do to his mentality going forward right now? You know, now Allmark's probably going to start game 3 in Boston. What's going to happen there? Allmark hasn't played since that debacle against the Maple Leafs. So what's going to happen there? So now there's all these there's like a occurring effects from all the stuff that's happened in this one game from the Florida Panthers demolishing us 6-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure, Omar. I think it's very possible he gets it, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. It was
I think it's going to be him.
I don't know. I really don't know. It was the right call to pull Swayman, though. Like, they just had to get him out of it. Yeah. He was just getting ricocheted. Like, he's getting shrapnel from his teammates blowing so badly. He was still excellent. I mean, he still continued to make excellent saves in that game, but when your defense completely collapsed, it's a little tough.
And when you're getting streamed by your own fucking defenseman all the time, McAvoy, it's kind of hard to fucking see. He's a piece of shit.
He is a prowl. He's a liability out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
He does not belong on the ice.
Remember last year Lindholm was like that? Lindholm was the fucking problem, the fucking defender that they were like, what the fuck? What are we going to do with this guy? Now it's fucking McAvoy. Lindholm's not that guy this year, but McAvoy is.
Charlie McAvoy was responsible for the first two goals, solely responsible for the
first absolutely. Two. Absolutely.
Loses his stick, just looks like a lost puppy out there, gets beat in the backside for that second goal. First one he can't clear, he trips over himself. He doesn't know what to do with the thing. Yeah, he should give his money back. He
was like that in the Toronto series, too. Toronto series, he was fucking screening Swayman. Yeah, he's been playing terrible.
Won't shoot. You know, can't cycle
the scared. Pieces. Scared.
Yeah, something's up. I don't know. It might be an injury. Maybe that's causing him to be a mental midget. I don't know.
Ooh, you can't say that. Can't say that. Beep that.
Mental midget. Certainly.
There's only one person watching. Doesn't matter.
Beep it.
I'll beep
now it's two, bitch.
There you go. let's end on a positive note. Let's talk about the Maple Leafs and their putrid playoff performances the last 12 years I have here, something like this. We're going to go backwards, okay? We're going to go this year, obviously, round one. They lose in game 7 to the Boston Bruins in overtime, historical fashion. Mm-hmm. Last year was the first year in 11 season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Just that I have here before that. And I forget what the number is. 20
something seasons. I thought it was 20 seasons. They didn't make
it. Yeah, I didn't even go past 2012 where they missed the playoffs for a number of years. Last year, 2023, was the first time we got to the second round in called 20 plus years. And they lost. They got blown out. 5-game set. The year before that, another game 7 loser in round 1. Didn't get out of the first round. The year before that, another game 7 loser. So anyway, keep a track at home. The last three out of 4 years, they have lost in game 7 in the round 1. Before that was COVID. If you remember, they had the qualifying round. Couldn't get out of that best of 5 series. They lost in game 5. Year before that, 2019, the Boston Bruins yet again in round 1. They lost in game 7. The year before that, 2018, Boston Bruins in round 1. They lost in game 7. The year before that, round 1, they lost in game 6. They missed the playoffs for 3 seasons before that. 2013, they lost in round 1 to the Bruins in game 7. And they missed the playoffs from 2006 to 2012. What?
I'm wondering what's wrong with Austin Matthews, though. That's going to be a big thing. I want to know what the undisclosed injury was for him, because if he can't play, he didn't play in 5 or 6, but then showed up game 7 and had like minimal ice time. There has to be like a big injury to this guy who had 61 goals in the regular season to not be able to play in 2 of the 7 games.
I guess here's what I'll tell you. Would it matter? 7 out of the last 12 playoff appearances, they've lost in essential game 7s, 1 game 5 in there.
Hey, at least they make it 7 games though.
At least you get to the doorstep with all the pressure possible.
And keep it competitive.
Puke down your sweater. And that'd be one thing if it was, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, but it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They, you know, you think that you're serious as a Boston Bruins fan. That those hockey fans up there are ruthless. They're unbelievable. Well,
you saw the crowd when they scored the game winner, David Pastrnak, in that little assembly outside the stadium that just... they didn't know what to do. They turned the TV off immediately, and they're just like, fuck!
Fuck, eh? Oh, fuck, not again, eh?
Fucking Canadians.
Jen, a couple pops, eh? Sorry.
Some French fries and gravy, you queers.
That's poutine?
Poutine. You get some poutine. They're not as French as those assholes in Montreal where Ray's family's from. Those people really suck. Toronto's more diverse and
they're classy. They're classy.
Yeah. They're kind of, they're a little bit, closer to the, those Montreal Canadians.
You got a bunch of hookers and prostitutes.
Coming down through the, I remember my dad used to get so pissed at those Canadian plates coming down over the border into New Hampshire and clogging up 93, trying to get
fucking
Canadians. Go back to Montreal.
Oh, you go to Hampton Beach, try to enjoy a nice little fucking.
I can see him doing that.
Goddamn Canucks. Look out of our country.
Goddamn Canadians.
Quebec. Look at this fucking Quebec. There you go. Game 3 will be on Friday night. We'll see if the Boston Bruins and all that ass kicking that they received can spark them to come back with a little chip on their shoulder at home in the garden on Friday night. We'll see. We'll see if it's Swayman or Ullmark. You're right. It could be Ullmark.
I think it's going to be Ullmark. That's what they're predicting.
Hard to say in a game like that whether a goalie looks good or not, but very clearly Swayman still looked better. Ullmark hadn't played in a long time, so rust is going to be there, but he still looked – I mean, he looked slower, and Swayman's still locked in. I'd go Swayman, but we'll see what they do.
Ullmark was undefeated against the Panthers in the regular season. I know this isn't the regular season. This is the playoffs. It's a different beast, but Ullmark did have a good record against them, obviously.
But you don't think Swayman had anything to do with last night?
No,
his defense just...
it was everyone else but the goalie pretty much fucking shit the bed.
Yeah, when your shot attempts were 55 to 30 at one point, shots on goal ended up 33 to 15. It's not Swayman. No. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Talk Patriots.
I got my ball to my butthole.
Cleveland.
Part of the show. All right, I don't want to hear the rest for the rest of the show because I'm gonna go watch the game after this.
Okay, no more.
I recorded it. Cool. So, hush now, child.
Hush, child.
I find watching games, I record the games. I don't see who wins or loses, and then I just watch them after. Skip the commercials. It's a lot less stress, even though you don't know the outcome. For some reason,
It has been decided.
Yes, fate's already happened. Like it's
you can't do anything. There's no juju that you can change anything. Yeah,
you're just there to see the results.
Okay. And, anytime that you can manipulate the game with a fast forward, it loses its there is no stress involved with it.
That's right.
If you feel like you're in control, you're in control of it.
In our streaming age, there are circumstances and times where I miss a commercial. Like you can't get up to pee. You can't just kind of, you know, take your mind off what's going on. The Brady roast, for example, that fucker needed some commercials. Like it was just 3 hours nonstop. Like how long can you laugh?
You know, you could have probably paused it, right?
Yeah. But again, right.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
When Kim Kardashian came by, you couldn't have just been like, all right, I'm gonna pause this right here.
No, because you're not experiencing the thing. You're manipulating it where someone else, you don't get it. Clearly it's beyond.
I'm just trying to get your mind focused right here. I'm trying to see where you're at. I'm just throwing out ideas. Maybe you could have paused.
To Bobby's point, when you have manipulation, when you have control over it, it just loses the essence of what it is. It's like you're watching a movie or something, you know? It's not live. So, especially in a sporting event. Sporting events where you feel that the most. So now I know the first half is 54-54. I'll watch that first half. Just see how they play. We do a sports show. So I'll see how they play. And then I'll get to the second half and see how it finishes up. Skip through some of the boring shit. Like, skip to the free throws, maybe. See you then.
I always skip to the free throws if I ever record it.
Speaking of skipping through the boring shit, the Patriots are beautiful segue, Rich.
Wow, what a great segue, Rich. That was great.
Patriots are quote unquote in a search for a general manager. They are under a faux search for another de facto general manager. Bobby, you mentioned it in your opening take. Apparently, they were just too fucking busy in January to go through the search. They are obligated to go through a search and have at least three minority candidates come in for the position per the NFL rules. And now they are doing it after the draft, after free agency, after their roster is basically set. And everyone can see through the facade and the bullshit that Elliott Wolf got the job. They didn't want to go through the process in January for whatever reason and just name Elliott Wolf, you know, the GM. I don't know what to think of it. Here's the worst case scenario that I've heard that could possibly happen. The NFL may say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you know, this is here for a reason. We're going to make an example of the Patriots yet again. And you either a fine or draft pick compensation because they did not comply to the Rooney rule. Even if they are trying to do it now, they'll see through their bullshit. That's probably the worst case scenario. But really, it just makes them look Bush League in my eyes. Like, what's the reason for doing it? The only thing I can think of is not that they didn't have enough time or they had too much on their hands, but they just said, we know what we want. Fuck the Rooney rule. We're going to get to work. We're going to put our coaching in place. We're going to put our scouting in place, and we're not going to spend literally any time on this other thing that is truly useless because Elliott Wolf is our guy. And if that was the case and they just kind of put a middle finger to the whole thing and they thought that they were doing best by their team and they truly just like got to work, okay, but even that, I don't really believe it because they needed an extra week to get their shit together before they could let the guys into camp, the players come back. So it just feels scattered. It doesn't feel like a tightly run operation. I don't know. The whole thing is just weird and icky. And
why wouldn't you hire Elliott Wolf after all this, who has now tape on everyone that you just drafted pretty much that he handpicked pretty much with Jonathan Kraft? Why would you just get rid of this guy? Clearly it's going to be Elliott Wolf. They're going to do all their due diligence and do the Rooney rule bullshit, blah, 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 go through candidates. It's going to be Elliott Wolf.
No shit, Ray. Welcome to the fucking conversation.
I'm just saying it's stupid what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that's what I just said. That's what I just took a fucking 2.5 minutes to fucking say.
No, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. It's just stupid. Like, what are they going to do? Let him go? They're just going to say, all right, see you later. You're going to go now. I'm going to hire fucking Josh Murray.
All right. Yes. No, good. Good recap. Why? I'm asking why. Why would they do it? Why?
Yeah, they won't.
They thought Belichick was the sole problem. So that's why they didn't even do anything. They're just like, Belichick's the only problem. We got everything else solved, so we don't need to do anything. It was Belichick's gone. We got it.
But they knew they had to comply to the Rooney rule. Even if they know Elliott Wolf is the guy they're going to hire, they know they have to go procedurally through these interviews with minority candidates. They know they have to do it. So they just said, I'm not doing that right now. We're going to just let Elliott go to work, and we'll do that whenever we feel like doing it. And we'll call him the de facto GM. Why? What's the point in that? Now you're sitting here in May, and everyone's calling you either a liar or stupid or dumb, or you don't have your shit together. It's just not a great look. And who's holding the interviews? I heard they're not being held in Foxborough. So is it just Robin Glazer in like a cheap motel room, watching Netflix as someone like goes over their resume? Like, everybody's denying these interviews. No one wants to come to this sham fucking interview.
No, they look like total clowns.
I think they look like total clowns. They just don't really quite get it. The other thing I heard from this is Elliott Wolff will get the job, Ray. Thank you for pointing that out. It's Elliott Wolff's job.
You're welcome. Well, obviously, he's going to be. I mean, that's obvious. It's the obvious fucking choice. Why wouldn't he have the job?
I know. What are you?
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I'm just saying it's stupid what they're doing right now. This is dumb.
I agree. I know. That's right, Ray. I think you're right.
I'm just trying to agree with you, baby. Sorry.
Okay. Are you fucking with me?
Are you fucking with me? Are you him?
There's no. Did you gummy?
No. In no, because you told me not to.
Because you get sleepy. You get like a sleepy potato.
I don't get sleepy. I'm not fucking sleepy. I'm ready to go. Seems okay.
Whatever pills that took your fucking brain into wherever you went, do some more. It's entertaining at least. Here's the other thing. Elliott Wolff is not going to get the general manager title. His title is going to be executive vice president of football or something. So he is
player personnel.
Thank you. He's going to report directly to Jonathan Kraft. You know who else is reporting directly to Jonathan Kraft? Gerard Mayo. So you have no hierarchy within the Patriots. The coach and the player of personnel, not GM for whatever reason, because the Patriots are smarter than everybody else. They're going right to Jonathan Kraft. The other bad thing about this, I think, Bobby, is, and this was not my, I didn't point this out. I think it was Albert Breer that talked about this. So I'm stealing it. They had a chance for the first time in 20 years to get a peek into how other operations work by bringing in general manager candidates from other franchises and organizations to just take a look. Take a peek. You've been doing the same thing for 20 plus years. Maybe have someone come in and share some of that intel and knowledge from across the league, even if you don't plan on hiring. But no, to your point, Bobby, it was all Bill's fault. We've got it under control from here. We're going to put a different hierarchy in our program because we run it like a business, not like a football team. We're the crafts. We're smarter than everybody else. We don't have to pay as much. We'll just coach them up. Gerard's our guy because he worked with us in the private sector for a year and a half. Robin Glazer, here's the checkbook. And we're good. We're better than everybody at 4-12.
100%. They could have brought in, they could have gotten more information about how other teams do it. They might have even, also if they had done it in January, they would have had all of the top end, highly qualified candidates that would have been available for these positions. They're getting turned down by bums. Who are these people? People we've never heard of. Continued to kind of be a clown show.
Yeah.
A clown show is rich fucking trying to take control. Jesus. That's how you do it. See, that's how you do it. Solo, 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 motherfucker.
Well, at least somebody's trying to do it. Sitting back there, all fucking dumbed up with you, whatever you're.
Dumbed or gummed? I have not taken one gummy tonight.
It's hard to tell tonight, Raven. It's hard to tell the difference.
No,
tonight. Whatever.
You can't tell the difference because when when I take a gummy, I fucking go sleepy. When I drink High Noons, I get very mouthy. I have been drinking a lot of High Noons tonight.
Thank you are very mouthy. This whole weight loss journey of yours has really thrown off the equilibrium of the show because beer is the secret sauce. That's where we like you. We like Ooh. You on.
You know what I haven't had in a
four or five crispy fucking 7%ers.
What was the fucking White Birch beer that I drank that fucking made me
God, you used to crush double IPAs in the game.
No, that was a triple. That was a triple IPA. Remember that?
A triple?
It was a triple. We went on a show. Rich and I did some like Boston movie show with two other guys. And I just remember showing up to my son's fucking baseball game, be like, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what happened this morning, but my God.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for
you want me time travel?
I'm looking for you to time travel.
Time travel next week, baby. Well, you want me to time travel?
We might need live beeps. Can we put this on delay?
I guess I got to YouTube that after the show.
That's what I'm looking for. Speaking of live beeps, let's take a couple minutes. Just go over this Brady roast. Ray, I know you have some clips, but real quickly, I did watch the whole thing. And here's the synopsis. Nikki Glazer, I hope you grabbed at least one of her clips, Ray.
I did.
She was the MVP. She had the best set. Kevin Hart was very good, too, as a host. You know,
Rattie man.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go further. Let me give you a little taste of Kevin Hart.
Giselle is actually here supporting you tonight, but just in full transparency, she came as Antonio Brown's plus one. How did that? What did I say?
He kicked it off hard. Kicked it off real hard. It's like,
that's good.
Eight fucking karate classes in a day, Tom. Eight karate classes in a day. The only thing bruised was her ass. What are you thinking, Tom?
The guy killed Tony. What's Tony's last name?
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. This one's fucking gold. This guy, bravo. Here we go.
Tom is afraid of the Giants, which is why Kevin Hart is hosting tonight. All night, he's been using the stool that Aaron Hernandez kicked out from under himself. Kevin is so small that when his ancestors picked cotton, they called it deadlifting. Tom Brady is a patriot, which is surprising considering he looks like a Confederate fag. Clearly, your ex-wife takes after you. I hear she's out there draining balls right now. People love you, Tom. You have the same fan base as Kyle Rittenhouse. Gronk, I'm happy you could take a break from writing Santa letters to be here today. I knew you were here when we were all out of chocolate milk backstage. You look like the final boss in George Floyd the video game. Jeff is so Jewish, he only watches football for the coin toss. Nikki has such a bad eating disorder, the industry keeps shoving her down our throat. You might recognize her from her podcast appearances, specials, and winning the Triple Crown at Churchill Downs. You might recognize Kevin as the jockey that rode her.
Oh, you did you? Did it go to Kreischer? The king?
Yeah, hold on.
Why do you look like a gay Tom Brady?
You sometimes gotta f*** your coach. You know who else f*** their coach? Giselle. She f*** that karate man.
Eight karate class a day, and she's still a white belt.
The only bruises she had were on her ass.
Do you know that every morning Kevin wakes up at 4 a.m. to make a movie? I love your movies, or as I call them, short films. You have seven rings. Well, eight now that Giselle gave hers back. Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
Bert Kreischer is a king. He looks like if the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King.
An ex-athlete, high cheekbones, silky hair. You remind me too much of my stepdad now.
Kim was terrified to be here tonight. Not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
It was
Bert Kreischer and Segura was fucking phenomenal. That 6-minute monologue they had, that was fucking awesome.
Psycho, basically a
basically comparing him to Hitler. That was fucking awesome.
They called him a psychopath. Yeah, a sociopath.
Yeah.
That was really good. The Gronk line from Nikki Glaser was, me no, not real money.
Speaking of fucking coaches, Giselle fucked that karate man.
Yeah. You fucked that karate man, Tom. Hey, karate classes a day.
It was very, very good. It was too long. It was way too long. By the end of it, it was just too much. And then Brady got screwed. Because at the end of these, you know, being roasted, you always have to go last, and it's a lot of pressure, and they're never quite that good, because it's never a comedian getting roasted. It's a celebrity who's not good at, you know, stand up. So, but whoever was his writer and whoever chose for him to go like the super cocky, arrogant, fuck you, I'm better than everybody else route, they did him dirty. It didn't play to me. Like, it just, and he's not good at acting. So you combine that with like,
he's not
an arrogant piece of shit. I mean, some of the jokes were written pretty well, but like he didn't deliver them very well, in my opinion. So I thought Brady sucked. I thought Belichick killed it. Belichick just has natural comedic timing. Like, and he's so dry. Like,
well, when I sent you the opening skit with him and Drew Bledsoe, you're like, oh, great acting. That was terrible. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be bad. Like, that's what I thought. And then, yeah, but then after that, it was just fucking pure gold.
Everybody wants to know, was it Brady? Was it me? Was it Brady? Was it me? It's both of us because of me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about some of the greatest passes Brady's had. He had that one to Amendola. Oh, no, that was Edelman. That's right. Yeah. And he had the other one to, oh no, that was Edelman too.
The Drew Bledsoe line was fucking classic. He's like, you know what? You might have seven rings or whatever, but there's some things you'll never have. And what would you say? I just celebrated 27 years of marriage with my wife. Or something like that.
I was the first overall draft pick.
Well, you'll never be.
And 28th wedding anniversary. I just Drew was really good too, and he kicked it off. So
yeah.
And then Kraft, God, Kraft
was drunk.
Either shit-faced or he was dying on the spot. Like, Cart made him do the shot with Bill, which Bill didn't take. You could tell he didn't want anything to fucking do with that, but no. They're on, you know, want millions of people. So he played along, but then Kraft takes it and the whole thing just falls down his chin. He's doing a speech. And when people do that, they get nervous and they shake. I know, like, I've done hundreds, thousands of presentations in my job. And even if I get in front of people, like, you just get a, sometimes you get shake. So maybe that was it. Or the dude's 80 something, like, you know, either he had something going on with him or he's fucked up. I don't know, but he had some shakes going on. But he did land one of the better lines of the night as well. After he gave his speech, he said, "And Vladimir Putin, I want my fucking ring back."
Ring back, yeah, that was good.
Which is a good line from Kraft. Yeah. So here you go. That was the Brady roast. Anybody who hasn't seen it, Frank, thank you, Raymond. We put some clips up there. We'll see if YouTube doesn't take us down for that. All right.
Probably will.
Probably will. We're late. Do you have a would you rather?
I do.
Okay, let's bang through a would you rather real quickly, please.
Flight 892 is now boarding all passengers.
Sir.
I'll get it together. I promise.
Rich has no humor in that. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I mean, it was very cute. You just labeled it this or that, but that's Chief Bobby's segment, so personally, I'd be offended, Bobby.
All right, let's do it. Always feel constipated or have your child freak out while you're trying to take a shit. I said this because Richard said...
Shitting and the kids freaking out?
You're trying to take a shit and the kids just hanging all over you crying. I sent this because Richard sent this beautiful video of his youngest daughter, Addie, just crawling all over him, crying, freaking out, so... Would you always want to feel constipated or just a child crying, freaking out while you're trying to take a shit?
I'll hold the crying kid.
Yeah, I'll take
it. I don't want constipation.
No. It's too important.
Crying kid? Okay. You're on a desert island. You either have unlimited music to listen to or books to read.
I want unlimited to engage books? The mind. So
unlimited books,
books?
You can read books or you can just listen to music.
Yeah. One or the other. I'm going to go books. It's not going to be as enjoyable, but by the end of it, I'll be the smartest human alive.
Yeah. Need to engage the mind.
Fair enough. Brecky Hill or Livy Dunn?
Who are these people?
Brecky Hill is a social media influencer, and Livy Dunn is a LSU gymnastics. She graduated from LSU. Brecky Hill has been called the Livy Dunn with breasts, pretty much.
I see. And what's the question?
Then give me the one with the breasts.
Yep, me too. Thank you, Bobby. I know Rich wouldn't want to answer that. Share a beer with a hardcore Biden fan or a hardcore Trump fan.
Oh, Trump.
Give me the Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were going to go that route, Richard.
Well, I mean, Trump's a real piece of shit, but the people that support him are way more entertaining than the whiny lefties. I'm assuming it's far right, far left is where you're going here.
Yes, but I was just fucking.
Give me the racist assholes over the annoying wokes.
Perfect. That's what I was hoping you were going. Bobby, same?
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Okay. When you're changing at the gym, do you towel to cover yourself or do you just go for free for all?
I don't go to the gym.
Well, if you did.
What are you scared of? You letting your wang out, you little wussy?
I don't need
a towel. What the fuck do I care? No towel. I let everybody else see what it has, what's down there.
My man, Bobby. Fuck it. I'm always towel. Richard, no towel? You just, if you did go to the gym to try to be better with yourself.
Yeah, gyms are for losers. I air dry naturally, so I would imagine
air dry. Do you not own a towel?
Do I not own a towel?
You say you air dry, so how do you dry?
With the fucking air. What? How do you think it...
So you don't, you don't towel down?
I do a soft wipe down and then take the towel off for a while.
Huh. Okay.
This just seems like a...
I've never seen that before. Yeah, that's weird. That's next one. All right. Nutty Buddies or Drumsticks?
I think I just read that all of these don't melt. I forget if it was Nutty Buddies or Drumsticks.
Probably. They're probably chemicals in there or something.
Yeah, they're not real food whatsoever. They left them out for like 3 days and they just didn't melt the ice cream. So
hey, whatever. It's good on
give me the Nutty Buddy.
Anybody? I'm a drumstick guy. Bobby, tiebreaker.
Drumstick if I have to choose.
My man. Hot dog toppings if mustard was eliminated from the world. Ketchup or relish?
Ketchup.
Relish is a useless condiment. So yeah, I'll go ketchup.
Ketchup belongs on a hot dog. Anyone who's a straight mustard guy in a hot dog sucks too.
Wow. All right. This next ketchup one I know is
mustard, a good mustard is for like a brat. Ketchup, a hot dog, just fucking ketchup. That's all you need.
Ooh, anyone, mustard you and ketchup? With a hot mustard dog, and get out ketchup?
No, mustard just ketchup. Just ketchup.
Really?
Just ketchup.
I didn't know you were a six-year-old child. Right.
It's a very plain food. It's a poor person food with a shitty little bun. It's just a boom, boom, done. It's like enjoying it's a hot dog.
Poor person's food. You elitist bastard. Okay, how dare you? Game.
You go to a
Why don't you start that up with a Trump
far right, and yet you choose to slam people with hot dogs? Yeah. You far right fascist.
Yeah. Me and the Trump racists are gonna be throwing down hot dogs with ketchup only.
Yeah, you are. You're gonna sit there on your Barbie.
Yeah. Mustard's for the lips.
Last two more. A week at Disney or a week in North Korea.
North Korea.
Doesn't that look beautiful though? Look at that, North Korea. No people walking around, no lines. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
4 years ago, when you told me you went to Disney and you told me how much you spent, I wanted to kill you. I wanted to kill yourself for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's the last one.
Never.
Speaking of killing yourself, how would you rather go out? Burned alive or drown in the ocean?
Drown.
If I could burn myself alive, but like run myself on top of Ray so he gets at least a 30.
No. That's not part of it.
I'll go that way.
That's not part of it.
That's how I choose. It's my suicide. So I burn myself to death, but you get a third degree out of it.
Murder suicide.
All right. That's it.
How would you want to go? Because I want to picture it.
Oh, definitely drowning in the ocean.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure you float based off of the
fuck fat, you, Bobby. It's not, I'm not fat, you son of a bitch.
Well, it's all the fucking salt. Look at those cheeks.
True.
All right, we'll be right back with Simplest Minds of the Week to close this out.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
But I will say, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I do have family members with Down syndrome. It almost got me. I dodged it, but it nicked me. It nicked me. Bit of a daywalker myself.
Are you stupid or something?
I'm as stupid does.
All right, not a whole lot here. Again, very little input from my co-hosts this week.
You didn't fucking ask us, you son of a bitch.
2:15. I shouldn't have to ask. It's been doing this for 4 years. Like, come up with some fucking things to do.
Is this our 4-year anniversary?
Yeah, it's unbelievably ridiculous. Maybe just want to call it quits.
Happy anniversary, Richard.
Well, it's not for a few weeks. We've got time.
All right.
It'll be 5 at that point. That's how numbers work. Three, 1, 2, 3.
No. Four. 20.
Was that Jeff Frost that had that joke with Gronk?
22.
Welcome to the Los Angeles Forum. That's also how Gronk counts to 5. 3 and four. Simplest Mind of the Week. Here's one. I don't know if it's Simple Mind or just a funny little thing here. The Seattle Mariners have more ruptured testicles in their franchise history at 5 than they do playoff appearances at 4 in their 44 years of existence. The ruptured testicle number is fascinating itself. But the Mariners were good they've been good more often than not. To have only 4 playoff appearances is pretty wild. But
when Griffey and A-Rod were there, they weren't making the playoffs.
Well, I think they made that. They won that. They had the most season wins, right? With 116 or something like that. That was that.
Yeah, I mean, they had Intero, they had Griffey, A-Rod, Randy Johnson was there.
No, at the same time, there, Bobby.
Until recently,
good pulls,
it was very hard to make the playoffs, and only 4 teams made the playoffs, basically. In MLB, so but the ruptured testicle thing, they've had 5 not 5, well, I guess it'd be 5 testicles, 5 men. I don't know if either, if
no, it could be more than one testicle.
I guess the same guy getting at. Yeah, I don't know if you got double whammied, double ball sack first. I'm not
poor
sure,
bastards.
Yeah, bastards. That's gonna be tough. With the size of your gigantic cantaloupe, weird, grotesque nuts, Ray, are you ever worried about smashing them a little hard somewhere and not in my mother's face? And,
hold on. Is it Ray Mr. C? Is he big nut?
I have huge nuts.
You have huge nuts?
Like, if I could have, like, pretty much
had... Then why are you covering your huge nuts at the gym? Why don't you let everybody see your massive sack?
So small.
I have huge nuts. Small wiener. That's the problem.
I know that.
Bobby, I could have done the lunar eclipse or solar eclipse by myself with my nutsack. I could have just blocked that fucking sun out by myself. It's like a bat wing.
Ray's dick is like a little tiny acorn in an eagle's nest of fucking sack. Speaking of sex, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, this story keeps popping up, and Ohtani still continues to skate somehow, but Ipe Mizuhara, we all know the $4.5 million that he stole from him, and it just keeps coming out how he did it, and either Ohtani is the biggest fool in the world or the most trustworthy or whatever else, this guy just was straight up using his debit card to pay for shit, including $60,000 for the dentist. Never mind that. So here's the story. Ohtani agreed to pay for Mr. Hara's $60,000 dental work and provided him with a check, a $60,000 check on the memo line. I guess it said fucked up dentures. Instead, according to prosecutors, Mizuhara paid the bill with Ohtani's debit card and then deposited the check into his personal account. Many questions here. Number one, how do you make a $60,000 payment on a debit card?
Without your bank calling you saying it's just a fucking fraud charge right now?
Yeah, a debt, like you have to punch in your PIN? Like, yeah. Mr. Mizuhara, that'll be $60,000. Can you put in your 4-digit PIN? That's ridiculous. And then secondly, how fucked up is your mouth? $60,000. There's no nice way. Pen.
Probably like fancy dentist.
Just went to Ohtani and said, Mito? No, I'm not.
No, you got to do it now. You got to commit to it. You fucking started. You got to commit
to it. No, I can't. No, we're canceled. Mr. Ohtani, my teeth very bad.
Mr. Ohtani, my teeth very bad.
He didn't go with a doctor's note going, they say I need, look at this. Look at the fucking outline I have here from the doctor that say I need 60,000. He was just like, hey, bro, my teeth are pretty bad. I need 60K. He was like, okay. And wrote him a check.
But how much is 60K to a guy who's worth probably almost $500 million?
Obviously, $4.5 million is nothing to him if he's clearly oblivious to this
whole
thing.
That's what I'm saying. So he's probably
trying to play.
If that was a legitimate dentist appraisal of a man's mouth, that's a fucked up mouth. 60,000? I get dental work is expensive, but 60 grand, that's like, you better be getting a...
He's got a whole new ice grill.
Bentley. Mm. So there you go. You can... That's a more of a PSA. You can pay $60,000 in dental work on your debit card if you got it. And then here's a nice one from our favorite publication, the New York Post. Zoogoers are outraged to discover panda exhibit was actually dogs dyed black and white.
What are they going to do in China? They're going to protest that? No. You're going to shut the fuck up and enjoy the fucking dogs. The
Chinese government is a bunch of real fucking scumbags.
Yeah, you're just going to enjoy the fucking dogs that we painted black and white for you. Enjoy that.
Yeah, kids. Buried the headline here. This did happen in China. A zoo in China sparked all the panda pandemonium. Nice little play on words there, New York Post. I didn't catch that the first time. Sparked all the panda dashmonium after they dressed dogs as pandas because they didn't have the genuine artifact as seen in viral photos. The fake pandas unveiled May 1st at the Taizhou Zoo in Jiangsu province were actually chow chow dogs, a big haired breed from northern China, blah blah blah. You didn't think to take
what the fuck's a chow chow dog?
Well, that's a picture of it in our email. You didn't think to put this in the thing to share, did you? No. Okay. Simple minds. But to your point, I did not tell you to do that, and just like in third grade, where they asked you to make a step-by-step fucking instructions how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I will continue to try and do better on this program of asking Take the peanut butter out of the refrigerator or the cabinet, wherever you keep your peanut butter. You keep it in the fridge.
Wait a second, because you might land on this list. If you
your dog your... like it cold when you wipe it all over your nutsack, you weird fuck.
My wife buys the stupid organic peanut butter that has the fucking oil in it. So if you put it in the cabinet, it gets all yucky.
Goes the oil and then it separates.
First of all, you're for fucking eating peanut butter with oil in it and organic. Second of all, it always stays in the cupboard. You never put peanut butter in the fucking fridge.
Well, right. That's a beep. And
good luck.
There's a reason
you're not a beep because peanut butter does not belong in a fucking refrigerator. Nor should it be organic. You get Jiffy, you get Peter Pan, you got fucking Skippy.
Jif is the superior peanut butter product.
You got all these choices, and you get fucking organic. When I come down in June, if I see any fucking organic products there, I'm going to fucking slap it out of Ingrid's fucking hands.
It's the only thing in our house because we're responsible humans that understand that you've all been cancer-ridden fucking peasants fed by big food for their entire life.
Here we go again. First it's the hot dogs, now it's this. You right-wing son of a bitch.
Take your fucking chemical-ridden ice creams.
She's ruined you, Richard.
I've seen you eat regular peanut butter, okay? You're
scraping off the top of fucking roads to put in your to make it peanut butter, put some brown goddamn food coloring in there, calling it peanut butter.
She's brainwashed you.
What organic hot dogs do you have over there?
Stabbing your belly, fat ass, eating your stupid fucking Jif. You dumb bitch. At your stupid funeral, when you die of young age,
I can't wait.
I'm gonna outlive you. This goddamn video, and I'm wearing a one piece suit that says he's an asshole for eating Jif.
No, and what's gonna happen is when I outlive you, I'm gonna put my fucking nuts right on there. No, put fucking peanut butter and fucking teabag you on your fucking in your casket, bitch. That's what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna say who lived longer now, bitch tits. And then I'm gonna go to Ingrid and say I'm so sorry for your loss.
outside of tragic events, there is not a chance in hell you live longer than me.
Oh, if I do, I'm fucking teabagging you. I'm teabagging you with peanut butter on my nuts. If I do, no. I'm putting it right now on the record. If I outlive you, I'm fucking teabagging you with peanut butter on my fucking nuts.
Fine.
Good. I'm just letting you know right now.
You're going to have to get me before they cremate me.
When you, I'll get you. This happened. I'm gonna go identify the body. They're gonna go. Can you identify the body?
Absolutely, I can. Peanut butter on your balls while you.
It'd be great if you got there first, and then my wife shows up, and there's just a stain on my forehead.
That's not organic. No, it's not, Ingrid.
A bitch dive rub.
Oh, if you really separate and mess up your makeup.
Yeah.
If you really had your shit together, once you get your fucking cancer diagnosis, you'll start plotting my poisoning so that it looks like natural causes and you can just stamp me on your way out.
I'm just going to call Boeing and say that you're a fucking whistleblower, then you're going to fucking die.
Hey, that's not funny, man. That's not fucking funny. This has been the Semi Sports Show, Friday Rewind, May 9th, May 10th, Thursday, May 9th, May 10th.
Bye.
Got my other goddamn computer.
I'm sorry. Don't worry. Then you're going to be like watching both screens. You're not going to be focused. It's going to be like me on gummies. You're just not going to be there mentally or physically.
Just in orbit.
Just in orbit. Just fucking. Yeah. That's how it was when I watched Dave Chappelle. When I went with Bill, I was orbiting the TD Garden watching Dave Chappelle. Mm. I was having an out of body experience. It was beautiful.
I don't like this silent live situation where all
I love it because I just like it because it throws you off and now you're all fucked up and I like it.
You ever drop mother jokes to people that aren't used to that?
Yeah, I did one mother joke.
I had one of the guys.
Have you ever done one and the mother was dead though?
No, they just took the guy off by surprise, and the joke was sexual in nature, so he wasn't too pleased with it.
What kind of mother's jokes are not sexual in nature?
Yeah, what was it?
Well, so they were talking some stupid golf thing, and then he said he was talking about the double knuckle technique, and I said, of course, the layup. I used the double knuckle technique on your mother last night.
Yeah, of course.
And he was just disappointed. He was like,
what the fuck?
You didn't remember my goddamn mother. I know my knuckles have, bitch.
Mother! Whoopsie!
My mother?
Sorry.
Speaking of mothers and knuckles, what do you say we start the show? The Simple Mind Sports Show. We're talking all things good.